I'm very excited to speak with my next guest, as well as having 80 million books in print worldwide. He's another Netflix phenomenon. He's the writer and creator behind Stay Close, The Stranger, and the recent Fool Me Once, and many more. It's Harlan Coben, and he joins me on the line now from London. Good afternoon, Harlan.
Hey, Catherine, how are you?
Yeah, all good, all good. Now, if I was starting this interview like one of your books, we'd be right in the thick of it already, because you do love to start with a bang, don't you? You're straight in there.
You got to get right there with the first line or the first scene. Yeah, no reason to mess around anymore. You know, you got to capture everybody's attention.
And that's it. I was saying to the listeners earlier on with Think Twice, I started it last night and it's no different. You're straight in. It's a murder from the first few pages. You're captivated. You're in it. And it's a very you way of writing. And I love your approach to writing because, as I said, you bring the reader in from the get-go, and it always feels quite different to which, you know, is what you're going for than other detective and crime novels that I read.
Yeah, well, thanks. I'm, you know, trying to. I want to, you know, it's, you have to, you can stir the pulse and you can stir the mind, but if you're not also stirring the heart, if you're not, besides what, you know, murder, mystery, all those sort of things, if you're not caring about what happens to these characters, if you're not, you know, moved by their position, it's just not going to work. So you kind of have to have all of those ingredients. Mm. And part of that, as you say, is to get the person into the story right in the middle of it as soon as possible.
Mm. And you're going back to your roots now with Myron Bolitar. I don't want to give too much away. As I said, I've just started into the book myself. So do you want to tell us what the new book is about?
Sure. Well, it's been 8 years since I wrote a Myron Bolitar novel. And so what I wanted to do is write one that, if you had never read one, if you would said, I don't want to start with the 12th. Yes, you can. It's starting his life all over again. But what happens is someone comes to Myron early on and says, you know, we have evidence of a serial killer at work and we have their DNA and we think we know who it is. The only problem is it's somebody in Myron's life who Myron eulogized 3 years ago. He's been dead for 3 years, but they're claiming he's alive and still a serial killer. And that's how the book opens. And we go from there.
I mean, it is just brilliant. The first Myron book, was back in 95. So that character, he would have been like 28, 29 back then?
He was around 28 or 20, right. Now he's around 50. He ages slower than we do, Catherine.
But I mean, it's wonderful though, because we've seen him in this book, like we've seen him age and grow and change over the years. Was that an important part of the character build for you, coming back to him 8 years later?
Yeah, for me, you know, I'm not writing Hercule Poirot or Sherlock Holmes, which are great, but the character was always the same age. They just were solving a crime. For me, it always had to be a very personal story for Myron, and he has to age and change as the theater characters around him, so that we have more interesting worlds and people can look back. So, like, I know a lot of people who've started with Think Twice, and then they kind of enjoy going back and saying, oh my goodness, here's what he was like when he was young and progressing that way. I just find that I think readers demand a little bit more than just a solving crime type of story. You know, at the end of Think Twice, first of all, my challenge to your wonderful listeners, you won't guess the answer. There you go. I'm challenging you. So get angry and see if you can beat me. But you won't guess the solution to Think Twice. But more than that, I hope you're shedding a little bit of a tear at the end. I hope you're deeply moved by what happens to Myron and Wynne and Esperanza and the other people in this book, that they've become part of almost like your family.
Mm-mm. Would you say there's a bit of Myron in yourself, like he's been with you for so long and how he's developed?
Yeah, I mean, when I created Myron, I created him to be sort of me with wish fulfillment. You know, he's funnier, he's faster, he's stronger, he's braver, he's a better basketball player, that kind of a thing. And I also gave us a weird tension, not to get too serious for a moment, but Myron has what I want and I have what Myron wants. Myron's whole dream in life is to get married and move to the American suburbs and have kids and, you know, backyard basketball games and barbecues and all that kind of a thing. And that's my life, and Myron doesn't get that, so he's mad at me. On the other hand, my parents died young, and Myron's parents in this book are now in their 80s. So I get to imagine through Myron what my relationship with my parents would be like had they survived. And that's worked very well for us in terms of creating tension and just understanding one another as writer, creator.
That's so interesting. I mean, you're the king of the twists and the turns. Is it difficult to keep up with your own brain at times? Because I suppose, do you have endless ideas on what direction a character could go in?
It's not pretty in there, Catherine. You don't want to be. But I say that a novel or these TV, my, a TV show, a novel is like a sausage. You might like the final taste. You don't want to see how it was made.
Brilliant. I was just thinking about this today, right? Like, so much has changed since the 90s. And the opening few pages on Think Twice, you're talking about trackers in cars and you're talking about phones and iPhones. So technology and the developments in forensics has changed entirely since you started out. So that's obviously impacted your plots and storylines too.
Yes. I mean, for some people, it's for the worse, but for me, it's for the better. So the idea for this book came, I hate serial killer books, okay? I don't write them, but I was reading how there's less active serial killers now than ever before. Since they've been keeping track in the 70s, we have less serial killers now than ever before. Not because we are mentally balanced. No, we are as crazy, if not crazier, than ever. But as you just point out, it's so hard to get away with it. In the old movies and books you would watch, right? You'd be picking up hitchhikers. The girl would walk into the park by herself. Now everybody has a cell phone. Everybody's being tracked. There's CCTV everywhere. Your car has a tracker on it. The roads have cameras and trackers. So it's very hard for them to get away with it. So me, because this is what I do for a living, thinks, well, how can they get away with it? Mm-hmm. And that was sort of the start also. A new way to write this kind of killer. How could this killer now get away with it in this era of so much technology? Mm-hmm.
Listeners text in here, have read all Harlan's books and loved everyone. Didn't realise till now that there was a new one out and it's a Myron Bolitar book. I've just downloaded and bought it on my Kindle. Also, I spent a summer in Livingston, New Jersey, where both Harlan and Myron, the character, are from. So
wow, that texture sound, your listener sounds really intelligent and well-read and beautiful, probably. Very attractive person, too. Thank you very much for that.
Claire and Tralee, I've just discovered Harlan. I have a treat in store for future reading. I Will Find You is my first one and it's absolutely brilliant. So again, great excitement now that this character is back, that Myron is back. Let's talk about Fool Me Once, because it's no surprise, for example, that it has the highest completion rate so far this year of any scripted show on Netflix. I mean, do you still get a boost out of something like that?
Oh, yes, of course. It's so wonderful, too, because as opposed to a book where I feel like, you know, to quote, we had the French Open going on, I feel like a tennis player when you win, you're by yourself, you get the trophy alone. But with a TV show, I feel like I'm captain of a World Cup team. And all I care about is that I don't care who scores as long as we win and we celebrate together. So, you know, I'll be texting Michelle Keegan or Richard Armitage or Joanna Lumley. We'll be talking all about it and still celebrating how many people are watching and talking about Fool Me Once. It's a real joy for all of us, these the amazing audience reaction that we've had to Fool Me Once. It's been such fun.
And you mentioned amazing actors there. I mean, the casting is great. Are you involved in that or are there people that you seek out? You're involved in a big way.
Yes, I talk to the actors almost, you know, I'm part of the team that selects them. We talk to them, sometimes audition. They usually want to talk to me before they take the role. And in each case, yes, and especially with this group that we just mentioned, very actively involved in the relationship with the actors and helping select which ones we are lucky enough to hope to try to get.
And I know your daughter is following in your footsteps because I saw she's a writing credit on a few of your series. So did she always show an interest in your work?
Yes. The only problem is that, you know, after training her and she wrote on Stay Close and Fool Me Once and Stranger and a bunch of the shows that we've done. But now she's dumped me because she got her own show that she filmed here in Liverpool on Prime Video right now called Dead Hot, which is if you take a very young person's perspective on my things, add a lot of humor and make it crazy. Penelope Wilton actually leads the cast, but it's mostly young people.
Amazing.
And you can watch it right now on Prime Video, Dead Hot. So Charlotte Coben wrote all 6 episodes of that and basically dumped her father for her own show. So I'm a little upset right now trying to figure out how I can get her back.
I love it. You got to let her go forth and spread those wings, Harlan.
Yeah, I guess. That's what he tells me.
I'm thoroughly enjoying Think Twice. Like I said, it's a brilliant patron. I cannot wait to see the outcome for Greg Denning, especially now that you've said I won't ever guess it.
Oh, you won't guess it. I recently reread it and I was completely fooled, Catherine.
Listen, thanks for chatting to us today, Harlan. It's been an absolute pleasure.